Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. Well, it's that time of the year, right? You might be receiving invites to year-end functions. And depending on which particular sphere you work in or the realm of work that you participate in, maybe you're just attending your year-end function internally as a larger institution. And maybe if you're like a few other consultants like myself, you might attend multiple year-end functions with different clients. Engagements. All of this comes with an opportunity for us to network, to interact, and truth be told, it's a light-hearted opportunity to essentially wrap up the year's activities on a lighter note. But lighter doesn't mean lasha. No, no. Yeah, we actually need to make sure that we still follow effective professional behavior and making sure that there are rules that one is cognizant of that don't compromise their professional conduct in a manner that could see them having to deal with the legal risks associated with their behavior, especially at a year-end work function. Someone who knows all about this is Kagiso Lebete, who joins us as a senior employee relations specialist to unpack this fact. Be participated in 0668809 is where you can share your voice notes or feel free to give us a call 086-000-959. Kagiso, such a pleasure to speak to you, sir. It has been too long. Oh, Kagiso, you're live on your live is. Okay, seems like we've lost him there, but we'll get him back on the line. But Kagiso Lebete, if you have listened to the station and the show over some time, you'd be well aware that he was with one of our senior employee relations specialists who typically joins us on the show to talk about all labor issues, especially where there might be a legal aspect that one does need to be mindful of. As we all know, it's year-end function time, but be careful what you post. Be careful how you behave. Be careful how you also interact with employees, with colleagues. And sometimes, even though it might be a relaxed environment, it doesn't call for you to be nonchalant and forget and flout the rules of the labor environment. Kagiso, great to have you with us and welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Gugu. Good evening and good evening to your listeners. I hope you can hear me clearly.
We've got you loud and clear. The gremlins are gone, so we're happy about that. Thanks for touching base, Kagiso, and making time to speak to us. I think there's naturally an air of excitement when it comes to year-end functions, right? Just a laugh, a drink, a meal, and of course, getting to engage with employees on a light-hearted note. So I'm assuming this is not typical of businesses, but it is part of the culture that I guess we've adopted, especially in South Africa.
No, definitely. And I think also when we look back at like, for example, the past year that we've gone through, many companies may have not done so well. And the opportunity for a year-end function close-off party surely just lightens the mood up a bit. Some people may receive news that they may not be getting an incentive or that the incentive may be reduced to a specific level. So the year-end function typically is one of those, listen, guys, we've had a year. We're all still here, and listen, we'll see each other next year. Let's just have a drink, have a meal, let's celebrate a bit and just let our hair down. But as with everything, there has to be a certain level of control and responsibility around how we carry ourselves in these sort of functions.
Are there any set rules from a labor law point of view regarding conduct at year-end functions?
Typically, we would advise employers to put in place policies. For example, employers normally have a policy that prohibits the consumption of alcohol or reporting for duty or under the influence of alcohol or any narcotic or inebriating substance. And this is a rule that is then relaxed when we get to year-end function stage, because you're saying, listen, you are allowed to have a drink or two. However, within the confines of the law as well, because sometimes you find that people are going to be driving home. Sometimes there's individuals who just need to monitor how much it is that they consume so that they are able to behave in an appropriate manner. We do know that there are individuals who sometimes misbehave when they're under the influence. And it's where now the company has to put in place policies and reiterate these policies leading up to the UN function itself. That, guys, in as much as we'll be in an environment where we're going to be relaxed and it's going to be social, you must understand that even that off-site venue still constitutes the definition of a workplace in terms of what the code of good practice against harassment in the workplace dictates. So the company should ideally reiterate some of these policies around its rules on alcohol in the workplace and the management and regulation of alcohol and BZA in functions.
Exactly. And I'm hoping that you can, underscore some of the legal implications there, especially for employers. If an employee does become intoxicated on site or off site, driving, back in their vehicle and accessing roads, there's a lot that needs to be considered here. It's not just rules for rules' sake, right?
True. And we also need to be mindful of the fact that the Occupational Health and Safety Act places an obligation on every employer to ensure that they create and maintain an environment that is safe from harm for its employees. And this extends to UN functions, as we will come to learn that company rules that are put in place either by law or by policy continue to apply. And acts of misconduct that happen at UN functions, the company can then take disciplinary action against employees who breach company rules during UN functions, at these UN functions. And we must never forget the fact that because we may not be formally at work and within the premises of the organization, we're still bound by the company disciplinary code. We are still bound by the company social media policy, to the extent that your conduct may be seen as detrimental to the image of the company, or you may be in breach of the company social media policy if you do end up posting stuff on social media that then reflects negatively on the organization. So in as much as specific rules may be relaxed, there isn't carte blanche to do whatever you want and listen, you can get away with it because it's a UN function. That would be very irresponsible of any employer to communicate such a message.
Let's talk about social media, right? Because so often many people say, well, it's my page, it's my profile, and I'm speaking to my followers. It has nothing to do with the brand. But contextualize this for us, and not only, the day-to-day regulations around social media and what the policies might be for different businesses, but more so how they need to be understood and heightened during year-end functions.
Ultimately, what we need to highlight, especially to employees, is to the extent that the public or the general public is able to identify or link you to your employer via your social media posts and your social media handles, that then opens the door for such complaints to be escalated to the employer. And the employer can then take disciplinary action, because there's a case that that happened quite a while back when then President Jacob Zuma appointed Mr. Desmond van Rooyen as the Minister of Finance. And then an employee that worked for the Econ Group at the time went on a racist rant on her Facebook page, which was linked to her work profile, and Econ then took disciplinary action. Mm-hmm. Now, if we bring it back to a UN function perspective where you are intoxicated, you're probably either wearing uniform or if you're in casuals, there is a link that can be drawn between your conduct and your employer. The company then has a discretion to investigate to what extent is the image of the company impugned by this conduct, to what extent can we take disciplinary action for a breach of our social media policy, which may prohibit any formal conduct that may bring the image of the employer into disrepute. So the primary principle that we would highlight is whether there is a link between the conduct on social media to the employment relationship, and whether that link can be seen to be detrimental to the image of the organization. Mm-hmm. Then definitely the company will then take disciplinary actions for your posts on your private page. You may get away with it if your page is either private or you've limited views or whatever the case may be. But once it goes viral, once it's in the public domain and that link is then drawn, the company then has a right to take disciplinary action for the breach of its disciplinary code and or social media policy.
Got you. And I'm also assuming, even if you're trying to quote unquote give your company praise, you can't be saying, Kaya FM, is giving us, drinks. I'm assuming one needs to be really measured about what it is that you're posting, right?
True. Because the company will make, for example, alcohol allowed at certain functions of the employer with the expectation that we are dealing with adults who are responsible.
Yes.
Because logically, the employer cannot put in place laws or relax its policies to the extent that they break the laws of the country. For example, you cannot be found driving under the influence and you say, but yeah, my boss gave me alcohol at the function. And neither can you go responsibly so on your social media page and start posting bottles of alcohol and saying, my employer is the best and he's given us all of this alcohol to drink and I'm now on my 10th drink. That then portrays your employer as being somewhat irresponsible, because your employer has to put in place measures to control and monitor the consumption at these events. And sometimes there may be an obligation to either provide transport, either ensure that they limit the number of drinks. Like some companies would issue tokens and say, we're going to issue two tokens. There's two tokens for alcoholic drinks and there's two tokens for non-alcoholic drinks. And that's all we're providing to staff because they're trying to manage the risk that they may be exposed to vicariously if an employee then gets themselves into some sort of trouble after having consumed alcohol at a year-end function.
Got you. That also speaks to our behavior, right? Because sometimes we tend to get very comfortable with our friends and our peers and colleagues, and perhaps a hug might be misconstrued for something else. Maybe people's hands get lost when they are sitting and giggling and laughing, and instead of slapping someone on the shoulder or the back, it lands somewhere else. and this is typically how it happens, right? We all know these conversations that, oh no, you know, this is what happened, this is how it transpired. The further we got into the night, then things changed. Or sometimes, you know, people start looking at each other differently because the drinks have gone in. But sexual harassment is certainly not a laughing matter, and it's one that does need to be taken seriously. And perhaps we all need to be forewarned and reminded about the legal aspects that are involved here.
Definitely. And there is a code of good practice on the prevention and elimination of harassment in the workplace. And that specifically provides guidance on how to identify and address harassment in the workplace. And as I've indicated, this particular code of conduct defines the workplace broad enough to include social settings. And we need to understand that once an employee feels that conduct is unwanted, that unwanted conduct may constitute harassment. It is aggravated by its repetitive nature. But even if you wink at me and I feel that, listen, that behavior is inappropriate, that may constitute harassment. It may not be regarded as serious, but...
I just want to jump in there, Kagiso, because there's something so important that you've highlighted. It's not what you perceive as the offender to be sexual harassment. It's how the other person perceives it. So maybe it's you stepping up too close to me. Maybe it's you putting your hand on the small of my back. Or maybe it's even the wink or the energy and the what I feel in your presence. And that's really important for us to highlight, right? To be cognizant of.
True. And there's a case. It is quite an old case of a Miss Payton, and she worked for a premier chemical industries. Unfortunately, there was a lot of alcohol at this event, and Miss Payton flashed her breasts or her bra through our colleagues during this year in function. And unfortunately, some of her male colleagues took this as an invitation, and some of them actually disgustingly so groped her. There's reports of an individual who tried to pull down her shorts, and she then reported this to the company. And for some weird reason, the company just bluffed this off, and they did nothing to investigate this. Even when she highlighted again to the leadership in the business, it was not investigated. She ultimately ended up resigning and claiming constructive dismissal. And she was successful. The fact that she may have flashed her bra at colleagues did not give the invitation to these male individuals to now start touching her inappropriately, because that is harassment. And the company should have taken disciplinary action against those employees. That's why it's also important that we, as employees, reiterate the fact that there are dispute resolution avenues within the business. You can either file an internal grievance, you can file an internal complaint. And I even go as far as saying file a criminal case for harassment, because harassment is a criminal offense. If you feel that severely about the infringement, file a criminal case. Open a criminal case to show individuals that, listen, I'm not going to tolerate being treated like this, despite the fact that Ms. Payton in this instance may have gotten a bit too drunk, may have flashed her bra, and people saw that as an invitation. But the company should put in place measures to address complaints around sexual harassment and complaints around conduct in general that may happen in a social setting where there is alcohol, because the code of good practice places an obligation on the employer to mitigate the risk and investigate all incidents and complaints that have been brought to its attention.
This is so important, and I'm glad that you've given us that overview as to the necessary steps that we can follow up on in order to seek corrective action. But I guess the biggest takeaway as well is that where we are within the ambit of our own control and the responsibility and accountability that we can also take, we also need to be mindful of our behavior, our consumption, and our conduct on social media, in person, and at these year-end functions, whether on-site or off.
Indeed. I always say to my friends that, guys, I have a general rule. I will, if I'm going to have a drink, I'll have a drink when I arrive. I'll have a drink with my meal, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I leave, because I don't even want to stay until 10, 11, 12, 1 a.m. in the morning, because mm-hmm. that's when all of this unwanted stuff starts happening. So I say, guys, we need to be responsible. We need to be mature and adult about how we handle consumption in the workplace. And also remember the fact that we're going back to work on Monday.
Yes.
So you need to be able to look people in the eye and say, listen, I sent you an email. Please, can I get a response? And you need to continue working with these people. So we need to be responsible, but also employers need to highlight and reiterate some of their rules, especially when you've got a large workforce.
Yes.
Bless you.
Thank you. That's
so,
got you.
Yeah. So I then say to employers to put in place measures and put in place the rules and policies to regulate this kind of behavior and reiterate them leading up to the end function so that people understand exactly what the expectation from the business is.
100%. Kagiso, thank you so, so much, sir, for your time. Really appreciate it. And again, for, you know, making it very practical for us to remember that these are not our friends. We are still colleagues. We are counterparts. We still need to be productive and work together. And even though we might be in a friendly or comfortable environment, we do need to be very mindful of our actions and interactions. And conduct throughout the night. Adult behavior is what is required, but still complying with the rules and regulations of the workplace in terms of your conduct. Thank you again, Kagiso. I'm hoping you won't have any complaints to deal with the beginning of Jan, or when everyone is back.
I hope so too, Gugu. Thank you for having me and have a good evening.
Thank you again. That is Kagiso Lebete joining us this evening. He's a senior employee relations specialist. Well, we've asked you as well, you know, how do you manage year-end functions at work? How do you monitor your behavior? Do you consume alcohol there? Don't you? If you do, do you place a limit? How comfortable do you get with your colleagues? How long do you stay for? And these are all things that, you know, we might be talking about it very lightly right now, but there are serious consequences to bad behavior. And even if it might not lead to any, outcomes in terms of your dismissal, or cases being filed against you. But sometimes it can impact your reputation. You know, when you've had a little too much and now you're the person that everybody remembers from the party as having a little too much to drink or being a bit too liberal with their body, perhaps, if I can describe it that way. But here's a voice note that we got from Tukolo. You can be like Tukolo as well and send your voice note around year-end functions and how you manage the legal risks that you need to be aware of as an employer. 063-688-0959. Here's a voice note from Tukulo.
Good evening, Gugu. With regards to the year-end functions, number one, hugging your female. If you are a male, hugging your female colleagues, it's a no, especially after having one or two. So what I normally do, I'll have one beer and I'll drink lots of water so that I still behave in a professional manner, because it's a professional event. You know, you still have to come back and face your colleagues. Now, another one, you know, trying to propose your colleagues, it's a no. You know, you might have been relaxed and you feel, no, this is the right time, but it's still a no. You might get into trouble, according to me.
Oh, yeah. Definitely avoid trouble. Tukulo, appreciate your line items there as to how to make sure that you're still on your best behavior, but still having fun at your year-end functions. Share your voice notes, share your thoughts. 063-688-0959.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.